recording.
Have you been able to sort out?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the short answer is yes. And the screenshots on there as well, if you need them. Okay, I'll do that later. Okay. Okay.
Are you good?
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you. Apologies for the technical issues earlier. I was actually just about to introduce myself and say, from my perspective, my name is Sinead McKeown. I'm the product manager at Archivum. So I'm living and breathing the technology. I'm by no means an archiving specialist. I rely on my esteemed colleagues for that expertise. But I'm very much about the technology. Although obviously I've failed on that today with not having the presentation and the connectors to get the presentation onto the laptop. But anyway, I'm just going to run through a few things about Archivum, some more detail and some of the discussions that Paula has already discussed. Paula, as Paula says to you, you know what we do as a company, we are a software provider. We provide the means to be able to, we provide a managed service so that you can send us the data, we can adhere to the regulations, we can manage your data growth. So, you know, as Miklo said as well, it's all about data. Everything's about data, and there's so much data today that it has to be safeguarded, it has to be preserved, it has to be looked after for the future. Even if you don't know what's in it, you know, it still makes sense. We have, I'm just going to flip through these because I know that Paula covered them. So you know, and you don't have to take our word for it as well. If you look at some of the research that's been done by some of the leading analysts in the world, it's saying that this is such a huge market. So archiving of the data is really, really important. And it's a big growth industry. As well as that, you know, from Archivum's perspective, we are also looking at the ways that we can help our customers reduce their costs. So obviously the cost of managing data on a day-to-day basis can get huge when you've got petabytes of data under control. But as you can move it, as you can shift it around, as you can push it further down the queue if you no longer need it, as you can get it under better governance, it obviously can help you to reduce your total cost of ownership, as well as making that data controlled and relevant for the future. And then I was going to cover, there's a few screenshots here of case studies of some of our existing customers. And I just wanted to use these to highlight and build upon what Paula was saying earlier about our solution and how our solution is very modularized. So you can see here, this is the University of Westminster, quite a prestigious university in the UK. They started with just a few of our modules, and then they've gradually built on them. So as we were saying earlier, you know, the system can be completely modularized. You can choose where you want the preservation. You can choose where you want the safeguarding. You can build on it. So you can build on the more and more modules that you take as your digital preservation plans continue, and as you get more and more involved and detailed in the projects. The next one, this is a replacement, Birmingham City University. You know, so they're looking at quite a lot of data. We're replacing their incoming system, and again, it's about the integration as well. So we're integrating with their CRM platform. MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art in New York, they have perpetual deployment, so they do the preservation of their digital content. They have the full safeguarding module. They're bringing all of their data in. So they're, you know, so these, in these areas, it's all very, very much about looking after data, looking after it for the long term, making sure that generations to come will be able to see the likes of the Andy Warhol videos and be able to access those, and there'll be no degradation of any content. The Francis Crick Institute in the UK, it's a large biomedical research centre. They have petabytes of data. In this industry, so as Paula, I think, mentioned earlier, Archivum as a company, we work in three different areas. So the areas that we work in are higher education and heritage. which covers all of you guys. And then also in life sciences and in finance. And they all have the same core need to look after their data and protect it from different perspectives, perhaps. You know, in higher education and in heritage, it's very much about keeping data, protecting it, making it available for generations to come, having it for the long term, having it forever. In life sciences, they're regulated and they need to keep the data. If it's research data, drug trials, that kind of stuff, they're legally obliged to keep that data for 30 years in some cases. So obviously they have a real need for preservation and for storage as well. And then when you look at finance, well, finance, they don't actually want to keep the data because it's all evidence. You know, so that's actually a challenge for them, but they're legally obliged to keep data. So there's a lot of different regulations that mean that they have to keep data for 5-7 years in some cases. And most of the time they just want to get rid of it as soon as possible after that. So you see a lot of the synergies. It's all about data and it's all about managing the data and looking after the data. Another interesting topic that some of you might have seen, we have been doing a joint collaboration with JISC in the United Kingdom. JISC is a large university research platform, and you're nodding, so you do know, yeah. So the interesting thing here, I think, from my perspective, coming from a software background, I think the interesting thing is that, you know, we're not just collaborating with the repositories, with like the Figshares, the Samveras. We're also collaborating with our competitors, which to me is quite unusual, but it's all part of the open sourceness and the open source community. And there's some really interesting stuff. We're also obviously working with Archivematica here and working on the preservation processes and modularizing and turning the Archivematica processes into microservices. So that makes it a lot easier for everybody to be able to digest the different preservation processes. Southwest Heritage Trust, this is, again, you know, part of it is integrations, SharePoint, CAM, all those common systems. And as Paula said, you know, it's all about making sure that it's easy to get the data in. I think Miklos earlier was talking about having a button for the preservation. I think my goal is not to have a button. My goal is that everything is just seamless. Everything's automatic. You choose where you want your data to go and it will just do it. And you don't need to then, you know, you can free up your time for the interesting stuff like getting the context of the data and adding that extra sauce and value for the future. So, you know, so what our goal is, and my goal as a product manager, is all about the automation of those processes, making your life simpler, making it easier to get control of the data and get it organized for the future. This is another case study from Loughborough University. So they've been doing another collaboration with us around their archiving and discovery. I think we'll be sharing these slides anyway, so, you know, you guys can have a look at them later. This bunch of criminals, look at that criminal headshots. This is the Archivum leadership team. So we all come from very varying backgrounds. You know, I obviously come from a software background. Yaron is from a finance background. Daniel's from a life sciences and pharma background. Matthew lives and breathes preservation. You know, he's a fantastic subject matter expert, and he will be talking to you later on today. And then Andy, again, Andy's about the storage and the organization and the deployments with our chief operating officer. And then Guy is our chief executive officer. So, you know, and he comes from, you know, a lot of running small businesses. So, you know, so there's a nice blend there. So Perpetua and our solution and the solution that we have in the higher education and heritage market is very much based on, I'm sure most of you have seen this diagram before, the OAIS standards and this standard flow and processing of data. So you've got your producers, you've got your consumers, and in between that, it's about the organization and the management of data, the preservation, the administration, the storage, the management of the data, and adding the context to it. So we, you know, we're always saying whenever, you know, when we're talking to our customers, we don't own the data. We're custodians of the data. We're looking after it. We're helping you to actually get it under control, to look after it for the future. And of course, there's some really good standards around that. And, you know, making sure that we adhere to all of those standards will help then for the future, because it also helps not just from our perspective, but from your perspective, as users of the system, that if you want to get your data back, at least you know that it's adherent to quite normal standards and that you can bring that stuff in. So, you know, so you can bring it back and you can plug everything in separately by yourselves. But, you know, hopefully the managed service that we provide helps and takes away a lot of that pain. So this is, you know, this is part of our managed service offering, is that we provide the subject matter expertise. You know, so we've got a lot of people in the organization who have a lot more knowledge and a lot more brains than me, who know about all of the digital preservation processes and who can help and guide you along your digital preservation plans. And then, of course, our system is all based around taking that data, managing it, organizing it, passing it around, you know, making sure that all the checks and balances as you process the data through are intact. So the integrity is there. You've got the authenticity, you've got the chain of custody, that each separate instance of the system and each geographical location that stores your data and the different copies of it has the exact same copy, and we can guarantee the integrity of it. The steps. So the most important steps, and I think the main steps in between in that OAIS flow, is around, you know, you've got your producers who are passing in the data. That data could be any type of data. So, you know, we don't care what the data is. We don't care what the data contains. We don't care what format the data is in. There's a myriad of formats that data can come in. Then our bit then comes through in this center bit, you know, where this is where the interesting stuff happens. And some of the stuff that we have introduced into the system are things like metadata extraction. So we're going through the layers of data. So what the problem that we were hearing from our customers was that quite often they don't even know what they have. And our message has always been, well, it's still important to get that under control. It's still important to safeguard it. And then you can start figuring out, you know, maybe you'll get more context later. Maybe you'll get more budget and you can add to it. So, but the most important thing is to actually get it and keep it under control. So we decided that we would start with a metadata extraction process. So in the latest release of the system, we are actually extracting Dublin Core metadata from every file that we ingest. So even if you don't know the context and you don't have a structured metadata format, you can still extract some of it, and then it will help you to be able to find and retrieve that data in the future. And of course, then the checks and validation and the inspection of the data and then the submission packaging, all of that stuff, all of the stuff along the process. Our goal is to automate as much of this as possible, but we do understand that in a lot of instances, especially at the beginning of the project, that people want to make sure that they're verifying and validating and doing all those checks as they go right through, as they go through the flow. So, you know, so we have the manual processes, but we also have a mechanism to be able to automate it all. So you can do, and you can set up your rules, you can set up your expected metadata formats, et cetera, and bring that in. Then the other part, you know, the middle bit here is all about the preservation. So this is the Archivematica solution that we use. So we embed Archivematica into our processes, where it does all of that, the normalization, the characterization, the processing of the data, and also generates more metadata standards as well. And so we take all of that information and we process that as well, and we package it and we bring it into our system. This part to me is probably the most exciting, and it's where we've been living and breathing a lot for the last release. Our latest release, we've put all of our existing functionality onto a new super microservices platform. So we've basically extracted and put everything into a microservices flow, which makes it a lot easier. So microservices are just, I think, a new industry buzzword a lot of the time, where it's just a set of services that you can unplug and plug, and it means you don't have to take your system down, and you can take the different functionality and use it as you need. So it gives customers and users a lot more flexibility of the system. But we put it on top of our new framework so that we could enable a much more enhanced search capability. So introducing components like Elasticsearch, which is a highly scalable search functionality. And of course, because we're doing the metadata extraction, and we're also bringing through all this different metadata, we need to make that data highly searchable, because our customers have petabytes of data under control. So we need to be able to make sure that in the future, when they have hundreds of petabytes of data under control, that they can still go back in and find their data, that they can find it and retrieve it. And whether, you know, whether it's through metadata that they had, or whether it's metadata that we extracted, or in some instances, they may even want to go as far as full content search. Although full content search over petabytes of data can be a bit of a challenge, so it's probably best to restrict what you do the full content search with. But, you know, the search capability, and whenever I do the demo later, I will show you some screenshots of the search functionality. The searching and the viewing, and then the arranging of the data. So one of the things that we introduced at the end of last year was, actually, I'll flip forward to the next slide because it probably makes more sense. I'm pretty sure that a lot of people here have heard of the Portland Common Data Model. I've got a slide anyway, just to run through it. So the Portland Common Data Model is a way of us to organize and provide flexible levels of record management. So it means that you have three basic levels, which are files, objects, and collections. A file belongs to one object. An object can then be mapped to other objects, or can also belong to a collection. And a collection can have other collections and also contains objects. So it provides all these multiple levels. You can do the many-to-many and traditional hierarchical structure of data. So it provides like quite a neat way of providing huge flexibility for the organization of data. So we've been, and we've been building on that, and we've been using that to help organize the content and to help map to systems such as ePrints and, some of the other repository systems, so that, so that the records and those levels of information can match up. A lot of what we've done in the most recent releases are based around this Portland Common Data Model. You know, we're using it for things like handling the GDPR requests, where if a user or if a data subject comes and they request their information, then the system administrator can go in and they can create a collection of data. So they just like pull together a collection of data on that data subject, and then they can either export it. So the export means that you've got the full audit trail, you've got all the metadata, you've got all of the files, you've got every single thing belonging to that person. And you also have the chain of custody with it. And it's all in a machine-readable format, so it all adheres to the GDPR regulations. And you can either give it to the customer, and that's the right to portability, or you can also use it to request a deletion. So you can use it for a crypto deletion or a metadata deletion, and you can get rid of all of the data belonging to that data subject through the requests. So PCDM, while it helps us to organize the data, it also gives us so many levels of flexibility and so many ways to control the data and to organize it so that it can be found in the future. Then alongside PCDM, as I mentioned earlier, we had this structure. So we extract the metadata. So we extract the Dublin Core metadata from every file that's ingested. But in addition to extracting it, we also have the means to be able to bring these content packages in. And we call them content management packages because we didn't want to confuse it with like submission packages and the different standard packages. But this is basically being able to enter a zip file of data, or like a package of data that contains metadata in a format that you can specify. So it's completely flexible. We started off with Dublin Core, and then we decided we would just make it completely flexible. So we can take in any type of metadata. We can adhere to any metadata standard. We can configure it through the system. We can map from whatever XML or CSV or Excel or whatever kind of file that you have with whatever metadata you have. As long as it's in a consistent format, we can map that into our system, and we can make sure that we're bringing it in across, alongside the data, and attach it all and explode it together so that that data can be found again in the future. So it's, as Paula was saying earlier, it's all about the flexibility. It's all about making things flexible, but making it easy. So once that process is in place and once that's been configured, you can keep passing in data in an automated way. It's automatic processing, and you'll get the data out at the other end and be able to find it, you know, and finding it in its original format, finding it in its long-term storage format. And also, if you don't have that as well, you can also then build on it later and you can actually organize the content afterwards as well. So you've got, you know, so you've got multiple levels. So we've been building and building on these levels of, with the record management. And I'll show you a bit of that shortly. Paula, shall I hand over to you for your next bit? Yeah, okay.
Cool. Okay. And then I'll come back for the demo.
She gets to do all the interesting stuff, right? So let me do my duty and stop the recording and start it again.